بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه، فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا، صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders and our sisters listening with the receiver, we continue our discussion on the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And the shining star we will discuss tonight with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is none other than Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. The name of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, most of us, we are familiar with his name. Whoever recites a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will find that his name appears mostly. He has narrated 5,374 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala has done a very great service for the Muslim Ummah in that he memorized ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he transmitted these ahadith to his students. And then there's a chain of narration. A student learns a hadith from his sheikh, passes this hadith on to his student, and it carries on right till it has reached us today. Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim both have recorded many ahadith of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. And he mentions, when some Sahaba, they began posing a question, they said, how come is it that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala is quoting so many ahadith, so many traditions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Whereas the remaining of the Sahaba would not quote so many ahadith, like how Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala would narrate. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala becomes annoyed. And then he explains the reason for his being able to narrate so many ahadith. And he says that my Muhajirin brothers, they were merchants. They had businesses when they came to Medina. They were traders, so they had their businesses in which they were occupied. And he said the Ansar, they were farmers and they had farms. So during the day when the Muhajirin brothers would go to their shops and to the different occupations, and my Ansar brothers would go to the farms, then he says Abu Huraira would cling onto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ala mil'i batani. Having hardly any food to eat, he would remain hungry and he would be satisfied with whatever little Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could give him. Despite the spasms of hunger, despite his poor condition, he still adhered to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he listened very attentively to the discourses of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would listen very attentively to each word that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would utter. Once he complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about his weak memory, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him to spread in front of him a shawl that he had. He said, "Ubsut ridak." Spread your shawl in front of you. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated a number of ahadith. And then he tells him that now gather the shawl, hold it together, and place it onto your chest. He said, the moment I did this, and from that particular day, right till the day when he mentioned this incident, he says, I never ever forgot any hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I memorized. Whatever I would learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever I committed to memory, I never forgot it again. So this was the memory that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala had. He belonged to the Daws tribe. Now if you remember, we did Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi radiallahu ta'ala, who was a poet. And just to just make the story short for those brothers who did not listen to that story before, that incident of Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi accepting Islam when he comes to Makkah, he was a poet, very eloquent. And the people had warned him that don't listen to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's an insane person, he's a poet, he's like this and he's like that. And they use very insulting remarks against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he actually stuffed cotton wool in his ears and he goes and he makes tawaf of the Kaaba. And they used to make tawaf at that time, even in the period of Jahiliyyah, and even the non-Muslims would make tawaf of the Kaaba. But he happens to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he's attracted to the salat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two rakat salat, Nabi Kareem was performing in such a beautiful manner that attracted him. So then he says to himself, "O Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi," he says, "that I am an intelligent person. I'm an eloquent person. I know Arabic very well. So let me give the man a hearing. If whatever he's saying makes sense to me, then let me accept it. Otherwise I will reject it." So he removes the cotton wool. Rasulullah SAW had terminated his salat. He was proceeding to his home. So he follows. And then he meets Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Tell me, what are you preaching? What are you calling towards?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to him very briefly, gave him da'wah towards Allah, the oneness of Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the message of risala that he is the Nabi of Allah. And he Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited just surah Falaq and Nas, two short surahs, just two surahs which we read so often in our salat. These two surahs, when he heard the words, it created such an impact on him that immediately he embraced Islam. So when he goes to his people, they all reject him. Besides his wife, his parents, and Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala had embraced Islam. And later on he comes, the Rasulullah makes dua and he goes back, and then his entire tribe, or many people of his tribe, accept Islam. But Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala is from that tribe, those tribe. So he accepts Islam, but for 6 years he remains with his people and he does not come to Medina. He only comes to Medina Munawwara in the 7th year after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had migrated from Makkah to Medina. In other words, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala was not there in Medina in the 1st year, 2nd year, 3rd year, 4th year, 5th year, 6th year. In other words, he was not there for Battle of Badr, Uhud, Khandaq. All these wars, he was not there. He only came at the time of Khaybar, the expedition of Khaybar. But the moment he comes to Madina Munawwara, from that very day, he has such a love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he gains no pleasure in anything else but in being in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But something is bothering him. And that is his beloved mother, who he used to serve. And he was very dutiful and obedient towards his mother. His father had passed away many years, or whilst he was a little child. So he was a yatim, and then he grew up and he lived with his mother. But he used to care for his mother, look after her. She was a disbeliever. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala would try desperately inviting her toward Islam, and she was adamant, she refused. One particular morning, he calls her towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accepting him as a Nabi. But on that particular day, she uses very disparaging remarks, and she insults Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala becomes disturbed. He runs to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him very, very grieved. Abu Huraira, what's the matter? He says, "Ya Rasulullah, today I have heard such words, insulting remarks from my mother regarding you. I could not bear it. Ya Rasulullah, make dua, she accepts Islam." Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raises his hands. He makes dua for the hidayat of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala's mother. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam terminates the dua. Abu Huraira leaves the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He proceeds home. But he does not know what he is going to expect. Rasulullah made some dua. He is going home. But he is still thinking that he is going to see a mother who is extremely angry. So he goes, he sees the door closed. He wants to enter. He hears the gushing of water inside. His mother tells him, Makanak, wait in your place, wait. She takes her bath. She wears her clothing. Then she allows him to enter. When he enters, immediately she says, she pronounces, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. This is the barakat of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the hidayat of the mother of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. Now he runs back to his mother. He is crying now out of joy and happiness. He's elated. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, I cannot believe it. My mother has embraced Islam. Then he says, make dua, O my beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that myself, I and my mother, we both must become beloved to the believers and they must become beloved to us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately makes dua. Allahumma habibhuma ila ibadika al-mu'mineen wa habibhum ilayhim. Wallah, make Abu Huraira and his mother beloved to the believers and make them beloved to Abu Huraira and his mother. He says, whenever any person would hear of his name then, they would become overjoyed. They would have such muhabbat for Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. Whilst we are sitting here and we are taking the name and we are discussing the biography of Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, we are picturing the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the close companionship that he enjoyed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The incident of his mother embracing Islam. The fact that he narrated so many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The khidmat he made for the deen of Islam. Each one of us has that love for Abu Huraira and his mother who we have not even seen. We haven't seen either of them. We haven't seen neither Abu Huraira nor his mother. But still, a love for the sahaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in the hearts of the believer. Those who are munafiqeen, hypocrites, they detest the sahaba, they hate the sahaba, they abhor the sahaba. May Allah ta'ala give us true iman, may Allah make us love the sahaba, radiallahu anhu majma'in. His name before accepting Islam was Abdul Shams. Abd means servant, slave, Shams means son, servant of the sun. When he embraces Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, from today your name is Abdul Rahman, the servant of Rahman. And then he had some kitten or cat with him. And because of that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would call him Abu Huraira. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out of the masjid and he sees in the jubba or in the kurta of Abu Huraira in his sleeve, he sees a little kitten. So he says, Ya Aba Hir, or Ya Aba Huraira, O father of kitten. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, as I mentioned, he would love to learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes past the bazaar one day, the marketplace, and he sees this, the people engaged and so preoccupied in the dunya. So he goes and he calls out to them, O people, what has kept you all behind from enjoying that which is being distributed in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In one narration, the mirath of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being distributed. So why are you sitting behind? Why don't you run? So the people left the dunya and they run to the masjid to thinking that perhaps some booty, some mali ghanimat has come, spoils of war, and perhaps now this is being distributed. When they go, they see nothing besides some gatherings of deen taking place and learning and teaching. He says, this is what I'm talking about. The gatherings in which deen is being imparted. This is what I have been calling you all towards. So he had that love for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for studying. As far as his ibadat is concerned, there are so many narrations, but he would recite on a daily basis 12,000 tasbihat. 12,000 tasbihs he would read every single day of his life. In fact, this narration of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu making what we have a tasbih on which he would count. He had beads and he would count as he made the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would make ibadat in such a way that he would make tahajjud for 1/3 of the night and then he would go to sleep. But before he would go to sleep, he would wake his wife up and he would wake the remaining, or then his wife would perform tahajjud, and then the last part of the night, the servants of his home, they will wake up for tahajjud. So in the house of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, The entire night you find somebody is making the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion with some dates. He says, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for barakah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes his dates, makes some dua. Then he tells him, put this in a little bag of his that he had. Miswad. Small little bag made of leather. And it was strapped around his waist. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Abu Huraira, advises him, that whenever you want, you're hungry and you wish to eat, then don't open and see and count the number of dates. Don't remove the dates and then take. Just put your hand inside this leather bag of yours, small little leather bag, a little purse, without looking, without removing the dates, take as much as you want. This is what Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu used to do. Whenever he was hungry, he would thrust his hand into this little leather bag, this purse. He would take out a few dates and he would eat and he would become satiated. But he says, the day Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an became shaheed. Now this is a very lengthy incident. People revolted, they killed, they assassinated Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, who was on haqq. He was the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the third Khalifa. And as he was reciting the Quran, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ, that is when they assassinated him. On that particular day, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says, the Sahaba suffered one loss, and that was the loss of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. But he says, I, Abdul Rahman, Abu Huraira, I suffered two losses. One was قتل Uthman, Uthman being assassinated, being shaheed. And the other one, I lost this leather bag. He says, I just could not find it. I couldn't find it, just disappeared. The same Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, when he had embraced Islam, and he would sit in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were days on end where Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala had nothing to eat. Nothing. He would say, after Allah Ta'ala blessed him with dunya later on in life, and when he got married and he got children, he did not marry whilst Rasulullah was alive. He only got married after the demise of Rasulullah, when Allah Ta'ala gave him dunya. So then he recalls the days. He says, I can remember when between, from the minbar of Rasulullah and his house, he says, Abu Huraira would fall unconscious. Unconscious. Why? No food to eat. And he says, Sahaba would go past and I would try to attract the attention. In fact, sometimes I should be in that state of unconsciousness to such an extent that they would think that Abu Huraira has lost his senses. He's gone insane. And they would place their feet on my neck. This was a method of a remedy that they would apply for a person who has become insane. So they would think that Abu Huraira has become insane. He says, but I was extremely hungry. I had no strength to even stand. I would just fall unconscious. He says, at time I would try to attract the attention to maybe somebody will take me to his home and give me some food. Of course, Sahaba were so generous, but they were also busy and they themselves had hardly anything to eat. He says, on one occasion I see Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu coming out. He says, I knew the answer of a question I posed to him very well. I asked him a tafsir of an ayat. He says, I knew the tafsir, but the reason for me asking him that particular question was perhaps he'll observe my face more clearly and he'll see that no, Abu Huraira is in extreme, he's in dire conditions. But Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, his mind was so preoccupied, and of course most probably in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gives him the answer and proceeds. Then he sees Umar radiallahu anhu coming, and the same thing happens. He asks him a question and then he gives him the answer and Umar proceeds, radiallahu ta'ala. He says, then he sees the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming out. Abu Huraira? How beautiful, what sound it must have been. Abu Huraira? He says, yes, Ya Rasulullah, it is me. He said, come, let's go. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew what was his condition. Takes him to his home and then he sees a goblet of milk. He finds out first from his wives that what is this milk, who has brought it, what is it? Is it sadaqah, is it hadiyah? He said, no, it is hadiyah, somebody sent it for you. He says, Abu Huraira, take this milk and called Ashabu Suffah. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu thinks to himself, if I could just take one or two sips only, ataqawwa bi, so I can gain some strength. But here Nabi Kareem Sallallahu is telling me to give Ashabu Suffah. So he goes now to Ashabu Suffah. So many of them, he says, come, Rasulullah is calling you. When they come, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells Abu Huraira, take this goblet of milk and give each one of them to drink. Now he's passing on this goblet, and now obviously, what does any person, what would he feel? He feel, I will get nothing now. By the time each one drinks, there'll be nothing left for me. And I'm so deserving of this milk. Nonetheless, it is passed, and so many of all of them drink. Now he takes the bowl and he gives it to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, no, Abu Huraira, you drink first. He says, how can I drink before you? He says, Abu Huraira, you drink first. So he takes the goblet and he drinks. He says, drink to your full. So he drinks to his full. He says, drink again, second time. He drinks again. Then the third time Rasulullah tells him, drink, Abu Huraira, drink. He drinks again, he says, La ajidu masahan, I got no place left now. I have drunk to my full. I've got no place. Then he passes the bowl to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One bowl of milk. All the Ashabu Sufa drink. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu drinks to his full. And then he passes on to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who then drinks the remaining of this milk. Like this, there were so many other incidents where Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he suffers poverty, hunger, starvation, but still he adheres to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another incident regarding the contact with his mother, the love he had for his mother. It is mentioned that as long as his mother was alive, then Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, whenever he would exit from his home and he would need to leave, he would seek her permission. He would stand by her room and he would say, As-salamu alayk ya ummatah wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He would make salam to his mother in a very beautiful way. And she would reply, wa alayka salam ya bunayya wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Then he would say, rahimakillah, may Allah have mercy upon you, O my mother. Kama rabbaytini saghira. Like how you nurtured me, you brought me up when I was young. Your kindness, the kindness you showed upon me, may Allah now show kindness upon you. And she would reply, rahimakallah, ya bunayya, O my son, may Allah have mercy upon you. Kama barata bi kabiran, like how you are so dutiful to me when I am old, then you are showing me kindness. May Allah have mercy upon you. When he is passing away, he had become very sick. So he began to cry. So people thought, now he's crying because he's scared of mort, or because he's leaving this dunya, or perhaps some material thing is worrying him, some possession of this world. He says, Amma anni la abki ala dunyakum. I'm not crying because of your people's dunya. He says, I'm crying because the suffer of the akhirat is a very long suffer. And the provisions Abu Huraira is carrying is very little. In other words, he is showing his humility. The fear that he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He regarded himself as being a sinner, one who does not have sufficient deeds to pass or to travel across to the akhirat, to jannat. And he says, bu'du safari wa qillatu zadi. And he says, I do not know what's going to be my condition. And we saw most of the sahaba, the same sentiments they had expressed. I don't know whether I will be commanded to jannat or towards jahannam. I don't know where I'm going to go. But Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu leaves this world in a state of iman, in a state of, in such a condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with him. He had done such a great service to deen, especially for the ulama and the muhaddithin, that whenever we read hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find in almost every page, we find, وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ قَالَ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would narrate the hadith. He would say, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning these words. And after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was an occasion when Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was asked to narrate a hadith. And as he sits to narrate the hadith, he says, Sami'atu. He says, Sami'atu. He has to say, Nabi or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unable to take the name of Rasulullah because he is overwhelmed. The thoughts of Rasulullah narrating the hadith to him, now he has to pass on this hadith to others. The love for Rasulullah he had, and he would fall unconscious. This was the love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah also bless us with such love that the Sahaba had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala help us to emulate at least some practices, some teachings, some advices of the Sahaba and implement and imbibe this in our lives. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Alhamdulillah, we had completed Surah Yusuf, Tafsir and Surah Maryam. And today, inshallah, we will discuss some verses of Surah Al-Hujurat. The reason why I have chosen Surah Al-Hujurat, because this surah deals or discusses social etiquettes, teaches us how or what type of character we should have. It teaches us adab, etiquettes, mannerisms, how we should conduct ourselves. We should refrain from ghiba, from backbiting, from gossiping. If some information reaches us, we have to ascertain whether that is correct or incorrect. If you take the veracity of the statement, person is saying something, he brought some news to us. Without checking whether that is authentic or not, and we act upon that information that we receive, there are serious consequences to that. Now in this particular surah, it is known as Al-Hujurat because Hujratun means a room. This surah was named after the quarters, the homes of the wives of Rasulullah, the Azwaj Mutahharat, the pious wives of Rasulullah, the pure wives of Rasulullah, the mothers of the believers, our mothers. Their homes were adjacent to Rasulullah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring out and highlight the sanctity of those quarters, of those homes. And we will see some incident that took place, and Allah ta'ala talks about the sanctity of these homes. And therefore this surah is called Al-Hujurat. But some scholars have also named this surah as Suratul Akhlaq, surah of character. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the lofty character that believers, you and I, we should have. The type of akhlaq we should have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the surah with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yaday Allahi wa rasulih wattaqullaha inna Allaha sami'un alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tuqaddimu. Do not be forward in the presence of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But fear Allah, because Allah is all hearing and all knowing. What is the meaning of this verse? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in that if any order, any revelation, any instruction is coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is about to issue an order, a command, then you have to listen attentively. You should not interject. You should not express your opinion. You should not give any verdict on your own. Except if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to consult you and ask you for your opinion, if he was consulting you. That is the only time you must speak. It is rude. It is showing disrespect. You are not showing courtesy to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are not being polite. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is discussing some matter, he's going to give you a command. Wahi is coming down, and then you interject and you want to give your or express your own opinion. So Allah says, لا تقدموا. Don't put forward any of your opinions. When Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are about to issue an order or command to you, you require to inculcate in yourselves taqwa. Why? Because if you have taqwa, then you'll have adab. You'll have manners in you. You'll be polite. You will not walk in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will not eat before he eats. Abu Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says that we never used to partake of any meals if we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Rasulullah put his hand into the plate and took the first morsel. Then and only then we would partake, and then we would start commence, or then we would eat. We would not walk in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this was the adab Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted from the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een and all those who were present there. Ulama have written, Ibn Arabi rahmatullahi alayhi, Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi has mentioned also very clearly, many scholars have mentioned, that on the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after he has left this world, then too this verse will still apply to us. When we are standing in front of his mausoleum, or his Rauza Mubarak, then the manner, you will find the same verse written on top. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ. These verses which we will discuss. So then too, you got to show respect. Unfortunately, we find ourselves, it is so disturbing, that right in front of the Rauza Mubarak of Rasulullah SAW, people are busy flashing their cameras. From the distance, as everybody is walking, from so far, they've already got their videos and their cameras. And there's such a din that is created, such a noise that is taking place. We do not understand what the cliff, what, how we are hurting Rasulullah SAW. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, after Rasulullah SAW passed on, after he leaves, he departs from this world, if any sahabi would, if he required to knock a nail on his wall and his house was nearby, she would tell him to be silent and don't cause takleef to Rasulullah SAW. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, I read in one kitab that he had to just repair his door. So he tells the carpenter to repair or make the door far away from where his house was, and just bring it when it was ready, just to fix it onto the hinges. So much of adab they had. There are many incidents, inshallah, as we recall them, we will mention them. So in this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that don't go in front of Rasulullah and express your opinion. Wait for his command. Wait for Allah's divine command. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. Do not raise your voices above the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh believers, don't do that. Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiallahu ta'ala, he was an orator, very eloquent, very powerful speeches and khutbas he would give. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also ask him to deliver some khutbas. But the moment this verse came down, the moment this verse was revealed, don't raise your voices above the voice of Rasulullah SAW. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. Don't speak loudly to him. كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. Like how some of you talk to others and shout. Why? What is the reason for this? What's the fear? أَن تَحْبَطُ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. All your righteous deeds, all your good deeds will be destroyed. And you won't even realize that your good deeds are being destroyed. Allah will wipe out, obliterate all your good deeds. So Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas, the moment this verse was revealed, he goes into his home, he locks the door. He's absent from the masjid of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a few days. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah had blessed him with such a huge heart. Such a heart. He could actually feel the absence of any sahabi. How often, so many incidents, suddenly, where's that particular sahabi? Then they would check, or perhaps he was sick, or this happened, or he was gone out, or something. Nabiya Kareem Samsam asked, where's Thabit bin Qais? I don't see him around. One sahabi says, my neighbor is not sick. I would have known if he's sick, but let me go and check. When he goes there, he finds that Thabit bin Qais is whispering. He says, what's the matter? Rasulullah is calling you. He says, I can't. Ana min ahli nar. I'm from the inmates of Jahannam. So why are you saying that? You see, the verse came down, don't raise your voice above that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've got such a loud voice. My actions are all destroyed. I'm doomed. What do I do? So this sahabi goes and reports to Rasulullah. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, tell him, do not worry. He's got a natural loud voice. Innahu min ahlil jannah. Give him glad tidings. He is from the inmates of paradise. Anas radiallahu anhu says, kunna namshi. We used to walk, and amidzas wa Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas. We all knew very well that this man is a jannati. This man is a jannati. So he comes, he's very reluctant still, he's whispering to Rasulullah. Nabi Kareem some consoles him. And tells him, do not worry, he's still afraid. Then Nabi Kareem some tells him, Ama tarda, aren't you happy? Anta isha hamidan, that you live a praiseworthy life, a happy life in this world. وَتُقْتَلْ شَهِيدًا, and you are killed as a shaheed. وَتَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ, and that you enter paradise. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this bushra, this glad tidings from you, I accept it. And exactly like that, he had a praiseworthy life in this world. He died as a shaheed, and the glad tidings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will enter Jannah inshallah. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, when he would narrate a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was still very still in tashahud position. And this is a position which scholars have mentioned from hadith of Jibreel, another lengthy hadith. This is the etiquette, the manners, when an ustad is teaching hadith, then this is how he should sit in front of his ustad. Imam Malik rahmatullahi also would sit in a tahiyyat position. And once the scorpion is biting him, and he's in serious pain. He can feel the pain. The color of his face is changing. But he continues the hadith. He does not stop the hadith. And the moment the lesson is over, then he removes his kurta and his students find that there was a scorpion biting him. And they ask him, oh, Ustad, why didn't you stop? Why didn't you stop the hadith lesson? You were suffering, you were in pain. He said, I could not. How could I disturb the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were being imparted. This was the love, the etiquette they had for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَلَائِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Those who lower their voices in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they call out to him in a soft, polite manner. They don't say, Ya Muhammad, Ya Rasulullah. With love, affection. Allah says, these are those people, imtahanallah. Allah has examined their hearts. Imtahanallahu qulubahum, litaqwa, for taqwa. Allah has tested them. Allah has seen that these people, in their hearts, I can sow the seeds of taqwa. Why? Because they have etiquette in them. If a person wants taqwa in his life, he wants to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so one of the essential things that he has to imbibe in himself is to have manners. Now if we just make an introspection of our own lives, the manner in which we shout and we scream in the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the masjid of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinah Munawwara, in our normal lives. Now we lack those manners. We lack those good practices of Rasulullah and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu jama'in. Allah says, Allah has tested their heart for taqwa. These people, lahum maghfira, for them is forgiveness. Wa ajrun azeem, and a very mighty reward. Inna alladhina yunadunaka min wara'il hujurat, aktharuhum la ya'qilun. It was a Banu Tamim tribe that came. They came at such a time to Medina when Rasulullah had just gone to his home and he was resting. It was afternoon after Dhuhr Salat. It was very hot. Now these people came, they were Bedouins. They did not have those polished manners and etiquettes. So they come right to the Hujurat, the apartments of the wives of Rasulullah. From outside they shout, Ya Muhammad, ukhruj ilayna, come outside. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down this verse. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. These people who are shouting out to you that you should come out and emerge from your house in such a terrible way, they do not understand, they don't have the knowledge. وَلُوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا. If only they were patient, حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ, until you emerge and until you come out to them, لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ, this is far better for them. But if they have done this, not having knowledge, and they were foolish, they didn't have that type of polished manners and etiquettes, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمُ, Allah is most forgiving, Allah is most merciful. May Allah subhanahu wa give us tawfiq and hidayat, inshallah. If we remember next week, there are many other incidents where Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in showed adab, etiquettes. For example, we had discussed Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, who was a great scholar, very great alim. But even more learned also amongst them, or more senior at that time, because Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was a youngster. We discussed the whole biography of his. He holds the reins of the horse of Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala, the scribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala was a very senior alim amongst the Sahaba. So Abdullah bin Abbas is pulling his reins gently. Zayd bin Thabit stops him, say, what are you doing, oh Abdullah? He says, هَكَذَا أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ بِعُلَمَائِنَا. This is the manners that we have been taught. This is how we should respect our ulama. So Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala grabs hold of his hand, kisses the hand of Abdullah bin Abbas. He says, what are you doing? He says, هَكَذَا أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتِ رَسُولِنَا صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is how we have been commanded that we should act towards the Ahlul Bayt and the family of our Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. This was the adab they had. This was the adab they had. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, I'll just mention this and we'll terminate inshallah. The member of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, like how our member had steps. But when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala becomes Amir al-Mu'mineen Khalifa, he does not stand where Rasulullah stood. He stands one step lower. This was the respect they showed. This is the respect they showed. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when he becomes Amir, he goes one step lower than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. This was the respect they had. Now this is what you call adab. If we have true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at this, the akabirin, the pious predecessors. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, he would not even relieve himself as long as he was in Madinah Munawwara. When he had the urge to relieve himself, he would go out of Madinah. And then he would relieve himself. He said, I'm feeling too embarrassed to relieve myself in the city of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah give us true adab. What is the famous adage in Urdu? Ba adab, ba nasib. Be adab, be nasib. Person who has adab, polished manners and akhlaq and etiquettes, then he's ba nasib. Then he is going to get a great fortune from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's special mercy will be with him. Allah will grant him taqwa. Allah will grant him izzat and respect. Be adab. You've got no respect, no manners. You just shout and scream and make a din and you behave in a very barbaric way. May Allah forgive us, we are all weak. Then be nasib. Then we are losing from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Then people would not have any respect for us. Then the image of Islam they will get is something very, very far from what Islam really portrays. Therefore it is imperative that we inculcate these good manners. Then and only then our children, this will rub off onto them. Then we will see them respecting us. Then we will get the type of akhlaq from them. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat wa afiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.